Father, we are so grateful. We are so thankful for the privilege you give to us to gather before your throne. Father, thank you for your spirit that is in our midst. Thank you that you always teach us and you guide us into our truth. Father, establish your word in our hearts as we wait upon you for the sake of your church and the nation. May you continuously, O God, receive the incense we offer to you as intercessors. And may we, O God, see fruit in the destiny of America and the reviving of your church. Receive all the glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I was just, praying and just waiting. And I just want to share something that really is the life you're living, you know. Just before we go any further, like Sister Yvonne just advised us, there are some of you that have your phone on a speaker. If you can turn it off the speaker phone or mute it, there's some noise on the background and some vibrations. So if you can take it off speaker phone, or if you can mute it, that will help. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, it's clear now. The work you are doing as an intercessor, is one of the highest office that God, it's actually the highest office God has given to any human being on the face of the earth. And the reason is because prayer, intercession, is a partnership with heaven in regards to the interest of heaven consigning the activity, the desires of God in the earth. God has created this universe, but has made it where he partners with his creation. So the area of prayer is where Jesus says, you are able to take what heaven has in mind and you are able to translate it, in establish it here on earth. And that's the privilege God has given to us as intercessors, or to people called to the place of prayer. And that's why when Jesus came, the first thing that when he went into the temple, he realized that the very priesthood that God has called to exemplify what it means to stand in the gap between God and the people, they have magnified so many other things in the temple that when Jesus came, that's the only place he physically showed a righteous indignation. And after he drove the people out, he made this statement. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. But you made it a den of thieves. So the emphasis God places on prayer, when Jesus said, when you pray, it is only God will encourage you more to see that your labor in the altar of prayer is one of the greatest service on the face of the earth. Now, I want to share one aspect of it, aspect of prayer that benefits us without us knowing, and how we can position ourselves for this aspect to really benefit us even more, especially in this time. And also, I'm sharing it for you to have expectation, especially if you've been doing this for quite some time. Have an expectation, because you will see the fruit in what I'm about to share regarding your years of obeying God in this area of prayer. There's a scripture I want to read, that very familiar scripture in the book of Jeremiah, but I want to bring out the benefits you should expect in your area of, in your investment in the life of prayer over the city. Somebody prayed, when somebody was praying earlier on this line, mentioned cities and states. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7 says this, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. This is the word of the Lord God gave to Jeremiah to send as a letter to the captives in Babylon. And God is saying to them, he's giving them a recipe for success and breakthrough in their state, wherever they are, in their state of captivity, or in the state where the nation where they are planted. He says, seek the peace. In other words, that word seek means be intentional about it. It's not something you do, you just say, oh, it happens. You take it as your responsibility. You take it intentionally. That's the word for seek. It's like if you lost, you're looking for it with an intentionality. For the peace, that word peace, if you study it in Hebrew, the word means the wealth of the city, the joy, the well-being, the welfare, the prosperity, the greatness. You go on and on. It covers that word peace of the city, the very well-being, the very success, the well-being, the prosperity, the welfare, the freedom. All is encompassing that word in Hebrew, the peace. So, of the city, whether I, that's God says, I have carried you captives, meaning where I planted you as captives, and pray unto the Lord. Then he said, pray unto the Lord for the peace of the city. For in the peace thereof, you will have peace. Meaning, there is a connection between the condition of a city and the life of those who live in it. There's a connection. There's a spiritual connection. But here's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, be intentional wherever God has planted you, that you don't overlook the condition of the city or just assume somebody else will fix it. God is saying, for those who partner with me in regarding the city where I planted them, and partner with me to download the expectations of heaven regarding that city, the plan of God is always peace, prosperity, and breakthrough, deliverance, freedom for the city. You see, God says, for in the blessing of that city, in the breakthrough in that city, in the prosperity of that city, or in the salvation, whatever God does in that city, he says, you will have your portion in that blessing because you're part of it. Now, I've read the scripture so many times. I've obeyed it. You know, we've all obeyed it. But something came out of the scripture in a way I never saw it before. And I started realizing some of the one or two testimonies I'll share with you soon, how that happened. The first thing that got me to start sharing this scripture with, especially intercessors that have been laboring for a city, you know, the first thing that got my attention is that we went to a conference not too long ago of American denominational leaders. The conference was in Louisiana, and they intentionally chose that area. When we went there, I was with all the prayer coordinators and prayer leaders for this denomination. We had a meeting. So their target, when we got to Louisiana, everybody was in their own department. The prayer commissioned for that PCCNA, their target was to have a meeting with some of the people in the city, but they chose specifically the French area. There's a place they call the French Quarters in Louisiana there, in New Orleans, the French Quarters. So these leaders, we all gathered and they said, we're going to go to the French Quarters and we're going to prayer walk the French Quarters. We've all heard about the French Quarters. If you've not heard about it, that is where the popular Mardi Gras takes place, where people come from all over the world. It's almost like whatever you want to do, just do it. You know, it's one of the most perverse festivals ever in America. So, and they do it on one of the feasts of the Catholic feast. So we went to these French Quarters and we took groups and but the first thing we did was we called together, they brought together some of the committed pastors in that French Quarters in that New Orleans area. They came and we wanted to hear from them let them tell us exactly how to pray for the city, how we can be praying, what's really happening in this city, and how are they contending, how are they, you know, really what their experiences in the city. So before they share with us, we went and prayer walked the city. They put us in groups. Now, as they put us in groups, I was with one of the college students. One of the university students is an assistant pastor. He was leading our group. And we were going to these French Quarters. The French Quarters is literally demonic, you know, but the manifestation of the demonic activities there is extreme poverty. I mean, you see, the place is almost like you're walking through the streets of some very poorest conditions in Africa or Haiti. And then in all these French Quarters, you see people, a lot of voodoo stores, magic stores. I mean, you will not believe you're in America, you know, in some of the areas. And then depends on when you get to the French Quarters, you could literally see people having sex anywhere they want, publicly, openly. And then at certain part of the year, the Mardi Gras takes place. And they showed us where they'll start and where they end. It's like a festival of perversion, an open harlotry. It's just a festival of intense pits of degradation. You know, so, and then, you know, we walk through the city. Everybody has high walls. You know, the criminal nature of the place. So one of the places we went to is a place of a woman that the government has even given license to help with, to work with the government sex trafficking people. So she gave us the statistics. I wanted to read it all to you tonight, but I left it somewhere. But the summary is this. Louisiana has one of the largest, the population of New Orleans is quite a few millions, but the homeless people in the city alone is into millions. And in that French Quarter, there are thousands of them. You know, you see people homeless everywhere, sleeping in the streets. The homelessness, you know, I think it says it's one of the poverty rate of that place is rated as one of the lowest in the whole nation. That everything they give to us in the statistics shows almost like it's one of the lowest in the nation. Homelessness, highest in the nation, poverty, the lowest in the nation, then sex trafficking, human trafficking, all this stuff, everything was what it was like, you know, everything was really horrible. So when we finished the prayer, and while we're going to the place where we're going to summarize our visit and hear from the pastors, the reason I'm sharing this tonight is because of this scripture and how God gave me a revelation through this young man. As we're summarizing, we're praying, this young brother that is a campus leader said something. We asked him a question. How do you all cope with this city? What are your strategies for the city? You know, people come from all over the world to pray with you all. They come to witness, they share salvation. But how do you live in this place? And what is your passion for this city? The young man said, people come from all over the world to this place. Believers come from all over the place to this place. But there's something that holds us. And there's something, people come to give to us, but there's something we give back to them for only those who are able to receive it. And I said, what is it? He says, we have love for our city. We love our city. When he said that, he must have said it in many, many ways. Immediately this scripture came to me. And I saw love from the eyes of the teachings of Jesus in a way I've not seen it in the place of intercession. So the Lord started showing me this. For you to really be a very effective intercessor, you have to love your city, for your city. You have to have an intentional love for your city. I never thought it that way. For you to be effective at your workplace, whether you are a cleaner or whether you are a boss, whether you are the owner or whether you are the manager, whatever position you serve, for you to be kingdom effective, you have to have an intentional love for your workplace. It cannot just be where you make money, where they pay your check. If you want to have a kingdom shareholding over that city, you want to have a kingdom share over that company, not what men will give to you, but what God will open up for you, you have to have an intentional love for your workplace or for your city or for your state. And the greatest manifestation of love for a city is the place of prayer. Intentional intercession for your city. Now, how can you pray for something you do not love? And how can you love something that is all everywhere you walk is witchcraft, everywhere you walk is all kinds of perversion, all kinds of wickedness, all kinds of, you see, you must see the city through the eyes of God. And that's when that young man said that, things just started exploding in my heart. You must see your city where God has planted you and has kept you there as a captive. Meaning captive, he has planted you there. You must ask God to give you his heart and his eyes for your city. He has positioned you there as a gatekeeper, as one who stands between heaven and earth for the peace, for the deliverance, for the salvation, for revival, for breakthrough in that city. Because God does not move by what is on ground in the city. God moves by how he sees the future of the city. Let me give you an example. Why love is connected to prayer and intercession. God looks at the world from the fall of man. The world is dark. The world has lost its place. Satan is ruling. We are completely cut off, totally doing our own thing, rebellious in wickedness. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, the love of God motivated God. God saw the world through the eyes of love, through the eyes of redemption. And then to redeem the world, he sent an intercessor, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus came and partnered with God to be an intercessor. So God needs a human being, though spiritual, in the earth to partner with him to harvest the nation. So Jesus became our best example of who an intercessor is. The world is in darkness. The world hated God. The world despised God. But God sent him and said, you know what? You were going to be in the flesh. Now I want you to stand in the gap on behalf of the nations. And he died showing love. He says, you know, he died for us, even while we're sinners. He stood in the gap for us. Why? Because he loved us. He loved the world. So we are not going to take the responsibility of loving the world. Jesus has done that. But now God is saying, do you love your city? Who? Your city is not the material things there. Your city are the people in that city. The number of people that will go to heaven in your city is based on somebody loving them the way God loves them. God sees every city through the blood of Jesus. God sees every city through the eyes of redemption. So we cannot base our love for a city because of the wickedness. The wickedness will make us despise the city. The wickedness will make us run away from the city. The wickedness will make us hate the city. The wickedness will just make us, let me see what I can just get for myself. Let me survive. Let me get by. Let me and my family. And the city can go to hell. But a true intercessor, God will start opening our eyes. Jesus did it for the world, but God is saying, can we just do it for our city? Can you do it for your workplace? He says, God so loved the world. Can we put it like this? God has put so much love for me for my city, you know, that I'm willing to stand in the gap for my city. I'm willing to stand in the gap for my workplace. But then here is the benefit. The promise. God is a good investor. God sows one corn and reaps harvest. God is an investor. He does not just sow and doesn't reap. He's a God. He understands the principle of sowing and reaping. So here God is saying, if you ask me for love for your city, and you become intentional about seeking, that you're intentional about my plans for your city, there is no way your city will walk in my plans, walk in the things I have for them because of your prayer, that I will not make you a recipient of the blessing of that city. Now, testimony I could share, just one area is, there's a brother, some African pastors, we host them here in Cleveland once a year. They come during the summertime. There's his brother from Lesotho. His name is Andrew. And he is originally from Uganda. But he was sent from Uganda to Lesotho in the South African area as a missionary. So he got there, he married, and then they started having children there. So that place literally became his home. Lesotho became his home. Everything he has is there. He doesn't have anything in Uganda. If you send him back to Uganda, he has nothing. Lesotho is. But there came a time in Lesotho. There are so many foreign pastors there. There came a time in Lesotho, very small place. The government became hostile towards foreigners. They became very hostile towards foreigners. And they wanted to kick them out. And they started saying, the government started bringing up issues about they're going to put a law. They started threatening. And they started threatening foreign pastors. They gave them ultimatum when they would have to leave and all this stuff. But before then, this pastor, when he came here, because we normally host him, he comes here every year. But every year he comes here, he's always complaining about Lesotho. He's always saying, look at all we do, and they don't allow us to do this. You know, they don't. I mean, he's always speaking negative about the place. So he's always speaking negative. And he started having more problems. He had complications with his wife giving birth. He had complications. Things started happening. Nobody knew what that brought about that. Then he would come, he'd complain. But he came this last previous year, not too long ago. He did not complain. He was speaking blessings. And then he shared this testimony. What changed? He says as he, all these years he's lived in Lesotho, he was complaining so much because of the rejection they have towards them, because of this hard ground for them to be missionaries there, and the limitations he has, his family. He was always complaining, not having enough this, enough that. They can't expand well. They can buy ground. Just so much complaint. But he says one day he went to pray. Right when the government started having this a hostile attitude towards missionaries from different countries there, he went to pray, and God spoke to him and told him, what you sow into the city is what you get. Begin to speak positive into the city. Begin to speak blessing. Begin to bless the city. Bless the government. Bless this. Bless. Just bless, bless, bless. Speak good. Proclaim good. And the brother was, he faced for the struggling because of, I mean, when he comes, it's like his tears. What is going through in that place? But he obeyed God by faith and started speaking blessing. And started speaking blessing. Started speaking. It wasn't long. God started giving favor in the community. God started giving favor in the universities. God started giving favor in the government. And before he came, the pastors had a meeting. They bounded together. He shared his testimony. They all started praying in that direction. When he came here and shared the last testimony, the government from nowhere completely laid down their plans and started giving opportunities to them, started giving them more liberty, more provision, and everything shifted. They had a major national breakthrough. So when he came here, he shared the testimony. And, you know, he registered. But as I went to Louisiana, to the French quarters, and this brother said, we are in this city and we'll stay here because we love our city. And that's when God started opening my eyes. But now the scripture in Jeremiah 29 verse 7, God used it to take it a little bit further. The marriage between intercessors and a city and the blessing that comes with it. The partnership between intercessors and God on behalf of a city or the place God has planted you as a staff or a worker. Many of us, of course, we're human. We go through things in our workplace. We go through things in our job, in our company. But I tell you, look at Joseph. Look at the different people God has used in various places. Is it possible that this principle was what they applied? Where no matter what you're going through at your work, you take that place as an assignment from God for just the souls. You begin to say, God, give me love for this place. If it's a hospital, it's a company, it's Walmart, whatever, give me love for this. You have allowed me to be here. I don't know how long, but for the time I'm here, I want to partner with heaven to bring heaven into this business, into this city, into this company, or your neighborhood, and you begin to pray. So I found out that word seek is the word intentional. If we're not intentional, we'll just be shooting prayers. If we're not intentional, we will not realize that God, it took God's love to come to a world that has no need for God, for God to redeem them. So we must have intentional, and our intentionality must start from, God, give me love for my city. Help me to see my city. Help me to see my company. Help me to see the church where I am. There are people, they just go from church to church, from church to church, you know, and they are intercessors. What about saying, God, give me love for the church where you put me as an intercessor? Help me to pray for the pastor. Help me to stand in the gap for the congregation, for them to come into a greater awareness of the love of God. Help me to stand in the gap for my workplace. Help me to stand in the gap for my city. There's a young lady in our church that was at her workplace. She was undergoing some severe persecution. And she was so angry. She came to me. I said, I don't know how to do anything but using kingdom principles. I said there's a reason why Jesus says, pray for those who despise you. Love your enemies. He's not saying go be hugging those who want to kill you, but you can establish love for your enemies through prayer. That's kingdom principle. He says don't pay evil for evil. That's the worldly principle. But kingdom principle is a faith action. You activate, you do it by faith because you can, your flesh will not obey. So how do you love your enemy? You pray, you bless your enemy. Say, bless those who curse you. I mean, that's not human. So it must be a spiritual principle. So she said, I can't do that, Pastor. You know, this, you know, look at what's, but eventually she obeyed after much conviction. It wasn't long. The person that was really persecuting her was exposed as being the problem. And she said, ah, look at this. So that activated something in her faith. And she's now beginning to find more joy and strength working in the same place. So we must approach things with God's principle, God's eyes, God's ways, not human ways. So why, another testimony I just want to share briefly from my own personal experience. I try to avoid that a lot, but at least in the basis of what I just share with you, I didn't realize why the first time when God sent me to the city where I am, the first thing he told me was I should partner with him to pray for the city. Just to pray for the city. So for quite a few number of years before I even stepped out to do anything, all I was doing was interceding for the city and for the nation, for the city and the nation, city and the church and the nation. And then finally God led me to say, okay, now begin to work with the pastors in the city and begin to partner with them to bring about prayer. I just obeyed. It wasn't long after that. I didn't know. God has a way of doing it. But to cut a long story short, God literally, I don't know how he did it, but the mayor of our city from nowhere developed this amazing love towards me. He will be talking in a city meeting. He'll be discussing in a city where pastors meet or government leaders. We'll be together, you know, pastors, will they all sit down. Every time I've been in him, if the mayor is there, he'll be talking. All of a sudden, he will say, that's my friend. In the middle of every, I will just turn my head down, feel so embarrassed. The mayor will say, that's my buddy there. That's, you know, openly, sometimes when I know the mayor is somewhere, I will just not go. Because I know he will find a way. And in the middle where they have an occasion, he will just give me a hug. He's a white man. In the front of influential people, the people that will not even want to shake your hands, the mayor will pull your hands and just... So, and Keziah will testify to you. That's why eventually the mayor... he became our church board. He will not do it, but he's on our church board. And the mayor married me. I told him, I said, you're like a father to me. I would like you to do. He says, this is the greatest privilege you've given me. And he did our wedding. The mayor has done things that if I just mention it, he will not do for anybody else. Such favor. And now this city is prospering. They built a new airport. These businesses are coming. The city, all the spheres of influence in our city are all Christians. And of course, God has given so much favor to us in this city. And everything we do is city-minded. And we're now handing over to other people to continue that area. And God opened the door for us to now use ASLPN to do things nationally. But as long as we're here, it's almost like, it's like I was born here as a citizen. The kind of favor. So it was now I looked back and God says, you invested prayer into the city. And this is the fruit of it. So it works. It's the same thing in companies. You might think your prayer, if you pray that that company prospers, you pray for the people, for their peace. People are going through a lot at home. People are going through a lot in their marriages. Your CEOs, they don't. Some of them don't know God. They are going through your supervisors. But God has planted you there as a harvester. Pray for their peace. Pray for their well-being. No matter what they're doing to you, God is saying you have made yourself a shareholder, kingdom-wise. And when God turns that place around, you don't have to be one way or the other, you'll be recognized. God will make a way for you at the right time for you to see what, you know, the kingdom way. Not men's way, but God will bless you. And that's the same thing. For these prayers you're praying for America and the church, you will see in no distant future, you will see how you will prosper in this nation. You will see how God will protect you, preserve you, and give you a place of honor, and give you a place of breakthrough. No matter the threats, no matter what you hear, look at what happened in Lesotho. Look at what is happening. And this is a testimony also from Uganda. I can share with you the testimony in Uganda. The same thing, when the nation was, everybody knew Idi Amin and Museveni. The destruction that was taking place there, when they realized they have to love that nation, they have to love their city with the power of intercession. The thing shifted. The church in Uganda today has the greatest voice in their government, and they are examples to other nations. So, partnering with God is the greatest business you can ever be involved in. And you partner with him based on where he has planted you. So I share this for us to be more strategic in our intentionality in the area of the strength of prayer God has given us. And then do it with expectation like a farmer. You're not doing it in vain. The time will come when you will see your harvest in that city. Recently, I wanted to get a house. I wasn't thinking about it at all. The miracle was unbelievable. And I look back, I see it's all results of the seed that was sown in the city. So I just want to encourage you. God is a master investor. And prayer is not something you throw in the air. You are investing as a partnership with God into the destiny of cities and nations. And what you invest in that city, you sow in the area of prayer, intentionally, you will harvest. You will harvest. So don't limit yourself for God blessing you just through your paychecks or through what you do here. See yourself as a partner with heaven, and then God will prosper you based on that level, not on the level of man. So be encouraged. You're already doing that, but I just wanted to bring a little bit of focus in the strategic way you can do it more, and ask God to give you love for your city, love for your workplace in the area of prayer. Let's watch and see what happens in these few seasons. We have expectation for what God is doing in America. I am very confident that ASLPN will harvest such place of honor and breakthrough in this nation with time. Because I know the whole focus of ASLPN is God giving us love for the nation and praying for the nation. And if you've been doing that, have expectation. God is going to honor you. Your prayers are not in vain. Father, thank you so much for helping us understand our prayers are not in vain. Our labor of love is not in vain. Our standing in the gap is not in vain. The same love that sent your son Jesus as a partner with you, he died, and today billions are in heaven because of that sacrifice. So Father, give us that same love for our city, our workplace. Father, replace every complaint, every murmuring. Father, let's not take away this limitation we see in our little paychecks, in our little positions, but let us see our position with you in regards to that place. And may we eventually one day be like Joseph in the areas you planted us. Receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.